Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Did it get cold here? We better roll out the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio to warm up. And hey, you know, since it is Friday, what the hell?
Start spreading the news.
That means Schomburg Stew is here.
After a 2-week absence.
Yes, we had a little break last week, but all right, you know the deal. You want to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so you can look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, find that link and click on it. That'll take you over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, Stu is still not on Twitter, but you can hunt me down at Burke Time and forward me any questions, and I will pass them along. So there you go. We are all set and up and rolling. So, I don't know where we're rolling, but we're rolling somewhere. Anyways, we had the Astros wrap up their half of the ALCS to move along and face the Yankees tomorrow. Garrett Cole with another fantastic performance, 8 innings, 2 hits, 1 run, 2 walks, 10 Ks. You know, I guess the first question, Stu, is how much money is this guy making himself?
Well, he's a free agent next season. Do you think he'll re-sign with Houston, or will someone else grab him?
Well, you got to remember, Houston has $30-plus million on Justin Verlander's last year and $30-plus million on Zach Greinke, who they acquired. They do have some team-friendly contracts and guys like Altuve and Correa and those kind of guys. But I mean, you got to figure Cole is going to be a $28, $30 million guy. And, you know, I guess if they want to pay the luxury tax, sure. But, you know, A, do they want to do that? And B, can you carry three $30 million pitchers?
They could probably do it. But the question I have is how many years will he want? Granted, he's going to get around 30, 35 per, but will he want a 5-year deal, a 3-year deal, a 4-year deal?
You know, my guess is he'll want 5 with an option or 6 with an option, you know, is kind of what the going rate is for these kind of pitchers. He's only 29, so my guess would be 6 years to take him to age 35, which is kind of what the Cubs did with John Lester when they needed to make the big signing. So I won't be surprised if that's the area he kind of ends up in. But yeah, then you're looking at, you know, 6 years, $180 million.
Yeah. Tell you the truth, if I were a GM, I would not go for a 6-year deal with anybody in that age range. I would go for 4 to 5 years at most, because it seemed to me that John Lester, for example, lost a little bit. I think his skills are not what they were when the Cubs first signed him. And the same thing could happen to Cole, whichever team is able to acquire his services.
Yeah, well, you know, I think if you're doing a deal like that, you need to kind of front load it. So, you know, you're paying him for what should be his better years. You know, I mean, the thing that kind of frightens me is, you know, this was a guy who just wasn't very good with Pittsburgh. Now, I get it, he was young, but, you know, they were counting on him to be an ace, and he really only had one good year for them. You know, all of a sudden he shows up in Houston, and he's a Cy Young contender. So I, you know, was it maturity? Is it something the Astros are doing? Because they seem to have a lot of success with pitchers lately. You know, you could throw Charlie Morton into that, who was kind of a bust his career, but he was always a guy with potential. He went to Houston and he was fantastic. So, you know, how is Cole going to be in a different location?
That's a very good question, and you always wonder when these guys have these career years, can they do it again on a consistent basis for the next 3, 4, 5 years, or are they just a one-year wonder? And then that money you're going to pay the pitcher doesn't look very, very good if that should happen. So that's a risk, a big risk.
Yeah, you know, well, you know, like last year he won 15 games, so you know, and he did win 19 1 year with the Pirates. So he's had these type of seasons before, never quite to this point, but, you know, you wonder, you know, the tough part is you got to look for the Angels as a team that's going to throw a bunch of money at him because I believe he's from California. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if they do. You know, the Phillies talked last year how they had stupid money to spend and wanted Harper and Machado, so you got to wonder if they've got money left. I'd like to think if the White Sox are smart, they're in on this because they need a guy at the top of the rotation. So I think there's going to be a lot of bidders. It's going to be a lot of money, and I just I don't know.
Yeah, he's had a wonderful year, and can he do it again? Those are the risk factors involved, and it'll be interesting, though. I think the Angels, like you said, have a good there's a good possibility they'll offer him mega bucks. I'm not so sure about the White Sox or even Philadelphia. And would he even want to go to those two teams? I'm sure he would consider the Angels, despite the fact that they haven't been a contender for a while. But I think he would probably consider them because he's from that area.
Yeah,
California.
Well, you know, the odd part seems to be if the money's right, these guys seem to show up on these teams. So.
It'll be interesting.
You know,
it'll be interesting to see what happens. No. And do you have any thoughts in your as to who you think will ultimately wind up with?
No, you know, I think it's a little too early because you never know when, you know, that one just kind of odd team is going to jump up and throw, you know, boatloads of money. I mean, you know, frighteningly, we could see, you know, a team try to push it to like 35 a year early in the contract. So, you know, it's you know, and I know obviously Houston wants to keep him. So we'll have to see how that all kinds of plays out and works out. But it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it certainly will. I think Houston will make a concerted effort to try to keep him. And they're not afraid to throw about a megabuck deal. But, of course, as you pointed out, they have a couple other pitchers on their roster that are getting a pretty decent buck at the moment.
Yeah, you know, you just got to, you know, kind of wonder how much they can carry. You know, I don't know the rest of their salary structure, but – you know, that would be a, you know, a big question on if they can handle that. And I think they just have some minor guys coming off the books this year. I think they have some relievers coming off. I don't think they have any big salaries. You know, like I even think Josh Reddick might be signed for one more year. So it might be a tough, you know, a tough move. And, you know, you have to remember, you know, they have some young pitchers in their minor leagues. You know, we've been waiting to see Forrest Whitley. Lance McCullers is recovering from Tommy John. He should be ready to go next year. You know, I know they had a couple guys pop up this year and just make some appearances that are supposed to be rotation pieces down the road. I believe it's Framber Valdez is how it's pronounced. You know, he popped up, and you just got to kind of wonder – you know, how close or how far these guys are away. And, you know, that would open up, you know, that would give them one spot in the rotation, you know, with McCullers back. So it, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they kind of play it out.
How's Cole's health history been over the years? Has he been pretty, good, health-free?
Yes, surprisingly, it hasn't been too bad. For some reason, that was the first thing I thought of, was he had some injury issues. But the last 3 years, he's made 33, 32, and 33 starts. And he's been over 200 innings all three of those years. You know, he had a couple injury-prone season with the Pirates when he only pitched 22 and 21 games. But nothing the last 3 years. He's been just fine.
Yeah, and, of course, there's no guarantee that will continue the following year or two. And we know how brittle some of these starting pitchers can be for some strange reason in the modern era.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's all just – it's so hit or miss with these guys. But, you know, here, I got to – let me see if I can get you to answer the question that I couldn't get Dan to answer for 2 days. You know, it looks like the American League Cy Young Award is going to come down to Gerrit Cole and Justin Verlander, obviously teammates. Here's what we're looking at. Cole was 20-5 with a 250 ERA in 33 starts. He pitched 212 and a third innings. Verlander was 21-6 with a 258 ERA in 34 starts. He had two complete games. One of those was a shutout. Also, that shutout was a no-hitter. And he pitched 223 innings on the dot. Dan just flat-out refused to pick. He wanted to put him as 1A and 1B on his ballot, which we know we can't do. Who you got? You got Verlander or Cole?
Oh, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. If I were a betting man, I would have to put my money on Cole. And don't ask me why. I just think he's a little more solid and more consistent than Verlander, who's had a rough start or two over the course of the season.
Yeah, well, you know, and remember, the playoffs don't count. So anything that happens in the playoffs shouldn't matter. The votes are already in. So
That's true. Then what's your preference?
You know, I was kind of leaning towards Verlander. You know, I mean, he made the extra start. He's got the no-hitter under his belt. You know, surprisingly, Cole doesn't have a complete game, which I found really shocking.
Well, in today's baseball era, you don't see too many starting pitchers throw a complete game or more than one or two in the course of a season at best.
So, yeah, you know, I kind of think, you know, for me, I would have Verlander 1 and obviously Cole 2. So.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. And, of course, I'm trying to think who would be the favorite between Houston and the Yankees. And maybe because Houston has the home field advantage, that they will be a slight favorite over New York to win this thing.
Yeah, you know, I think so. You know, you've got to think that, and the fact that, I mean, when the Yankees can hit, you know, no doubt about that at all. But, you know, in the playoffs, the saying always is good pitching beats good hitting, and Houston definitely has better pitching.
And that's important, plus home field advantage, too.
Yeah.
And I suppose that whoever wins between Houston and New York will be overwhelming favorites to win the World Series, I would imagine.
You know, I don't know about overwhelming because, you know, if Washington gets there, again, you're looking at Scherzer, Strasburg, and Corbin. So you're looking at a big three that can match up with anybody. And, you know, I think a lot of people may have kind of forgot that coming into these series. I know Dan and I talked about it while the wild card race was going on that, you know, if Washington could get in, they could be trouble for teams. You know, I am a little surprised that they're going with Annabelle Sanchez tonight. But, you know, the Cardinals are coming back with Miles Mikolas, so it looks like it's going to be a pretty more or less kind of interesting matchup here. So, you know, I know Mikolas just pitched relief So we'll see how that works out. But I wasn't expecting that.
It sounds like you're predicting Washington to advance and beat the Cardinals for the pennant. Or am I reading something into it that's not there?
No, I do think they're going to get past St. Louis. I expect it to be I wouldn't be surprised if it's a 6 or 7 game series. Also Washington kind of pulled another disadvantage. Daniel Hudson, who's been closing games for them, went on the paternity list. So he's going to be out for at least game one and possibly game two. That Nats bullpen has been suspect as it is, and without him at the back end of it, you got to kind of wonder what the heck is going to go on there. But I guess, the wife beckoned and he had to go. So.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if that's a league rule that if there's a maternity involved that the league says you have to take off the 2 or 3 days if this occurs.
Yeah, well, I know once you're on the list, you have to miss, I believe it is 3 days. But I don't know, if they're counting yesterday as his first day or, when he was officially put on, because I just saw the announcement today. So we'll see how that kind of works out. But, yeah, it's going to be, it's going to be interesting if the Nationals get in a save situation, without him around. I guess they would go to Sean Doolittle, who obviously has the closing experience but has had his issues.
We have to remember that games 1 and 2 are today and tomorrow, and there's the rest day after that, so they have to at least hope that they get a split out of those first two games before they head to Washington. And with Hudson not being available, that's going to be not easy.
Yeah, and, just oddly, the way you kind of look at it is, all in all, it's an odd situation for them because Hudson really, I think he has a half a year as a closer under his belt. He's always been a setup guy, and then all of a sudden, here you are in the playoffs, and we're turning to him, as the guy we expect to shut the door on, everybody.
Yeah, and he looks pretty decent out there. I mean, he might do a good job for them.
No questions asked there. He's definitely been the guy. So.
Despite the fact that Washington finished second to Atlanta, they have a very explosive team. They have a very, very tough, good team offensively.
Yeah, well, Dan and I were kind of, joking around about it here. Is Washington finally advances and they do it without Bryce Harper?
Yeah, that's interesting.
So.
Yeah, Harper was his usual self this year with Philadelphia. What are he, 250 range, and is that all he's ever going to be now?
Yeah, I think he was a little hot there. I think he ended up at like 265. And he did hit his 35 home runs. So.
Right, but if he did get hot, it wasn't the wrong time of the season to get hot because by that time Philadelphia was eliminated from contention as a wild card shot.
He didn't do enough to prevent his manager from being fired, but he did something.
Yeah. I'm not sure if what he did was commensurate with what they're paying him.
No, if you're paying that guy, neither him or Machado had a really what you would call lights out year. I mean, when you sign guys to that, you expect them to be MVP candidates every year, and I'll be surprised if either of them gets a vote. And you can put 10 guys on your ballot, but I don't know why they would be one of your 10. I know there's always that goofy hometown guy who puts them on. So, we'll have to see if that happens. But, neither of these guys are contenders for that award.
No, no, I don't see him getting a vote, either one of them. Maybe there's a token vote, like you said, but
yeah.
Neither one of them had a great, wonderful season.
So, and here I got the lineups for tonight here. We'll start with Washington since they're the visitors. Trey Turner leads off at short. Adam Eaton bats second and right. Anthony Rendon hits third and plays third. Juan Soto's hitting fourth in left field. Howie Kendrick hits fifth at second base. Ryan Zimmerman's hitting sixth at first base. Michael Taylor's in center field hitting seventh. Yan Gomes is doing the catching tonight for Washington. He'll hit eighth. And Anibal Sanchez, of course, is pitching. He'll hit ninth. The Cardinals are going with Dexter Fowler in the leadoff spot. He'll be in center field. Colton Wong is hitting second and playing second. Paul Goldschmidt hits third and plays first base. Marcelo Ozuna is the cleanup hitter. He'll be in left field. Yadier Molina is the catcher hitting fifth. Matt Carpenter gets the start at third tonight. He'll hit sixth. Tommy Edmonds in right field hitting seventh. And Paul DeJong is in the eight hole playing shortstop. And then, of course, Miles Mikolas is the pitcher, and he'll hit ninth. So there you go. There's the setup. And they're saying 7:08 is the start time. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, and if Washington happens to win this game tonight, they'll be really in a great position because starting with one of their lesser pitchers tonight, and they could be formidable after that if they happen to steal a win.
Yeah, if they can get a win tonight, I mean, I know as odd as it sounds, you know, I think it puts St. Louis in a lot of trouble because, again, you know, you're looking at, you know, they've already announced that Scherzer in game two, and then it's Strasburg in game three. You got to figure it's Corbin in game four. You know, I mean, you know, if you lose to Sanchez tonight and those guys go out and have quality starts, you could honestly get swept out of the playoffs.
And it wouldn't surprise you. So this is a very, very important game for St. Louis, especially being a home game, of course. And it would really hurt them tremendously if they wound up losing it tonight. And I would say if they lost tonight, they're done. I see Washington winning and advancing to the World Series if Washington happens to win the game tonight.
Yeah, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, even if they lose tonight, it wouldn't surprise me if they find a way to win. So, you know, but I do find it interesting that the Cardinals have left Dexter Fowler at the top of the order. You know, he only hit 0-91 in the five-game series against who'd they just beat, the Braves.
Right.
So, I little surprise there that they're keeping him up there, but I guess maybe there's just nobody else.
Yeah, he has not done all that well for St. Louis since they signed him for the 2017 campaign and beyond. I don't think he's really ever had a terrific year for them. He did get a clutch in the first inning though, in that game when they scored those 10 runs against Atlanta.
So, you know, he was hurt for, a decent chunk of the season this year. So, you got to kind of take that into consideration. But,
True.
You even look at, you know, some of the other guys. I mean, Yachty's only hitting .143. I know he got the one big hit. You know, Colton Wong's at .250. I mean, they're not exactly killing it, but, you know, they're finding ways to win. So,
yeah. Well, Molina may not be hitting very high in the playoffs, but he's a great clutch hitter. In fact, he tied that game, that big game, when he hit that line drive off of Goldschmidt's glove and then hit the sac fly to win the game for them.
So, yeah, you know, and I mean, obviously you can't, you know, you're not going to get a better defensive catcher. So.
No, he's a great catcher and had a terrific career, and he always seems to come through when in important situations in the game.
So yeah, we'll see how it kind of gets going.
You know that the averages for the five games are misleading too sometimes because it's only five games. So what do they get? 15, 20 at bats, and It's like starting out the season. The guy's hitting a .091 for the first five games. Saying, "Hey, what happened to this guy? He's a superstar. Why is he when he hitting .091? It's five games. It's five games.
Yeah.
It's a
it is just
situational hitting
is important. So it's not like, you know, he's had a boatload of at bats. You know, 22 isn't much. Obviously, you would have liked to seen him get off to a little better start, especially in the leadoff spot. But you know, I mean, he did drive in three runs in that series, which was, you know, which is big. So
huge. I didn't notice in that 10 run explosion the other day that St. Louis seemed to rely on situational hitting, which most teams don't do now. They seem to put the ball in play, and they've got a couple of drives down the line, the first and third base line, and scored three or four runs with that. And more teams should do that, but they don't. They don't seem to rely on situational hitting, but the Cardinals did, and they got them to play for the championship, for the National League pennant.
Yeah, you know, it had to be really tough for the analytical guys to watch that inning and have the Cardinals put up 10 runs without hitting a home run. You know, I'm sure those guys were, you know, they're on their couch crying or pulling their hair out or, you know, whatever those guys do. But yeah, it had to be just insane for them that, you know, they couldn't get a home run out of anybody.
Yeah. How could that happen? Right. How can a team score 10 runs in an inning and not hit one home run?
So yeah, I kind of thought that, you know, anytime you get the analytical people, you know, in a rage, I kind of chuckle because, you know, I think the majority of them are idiots and it just kind of screwed the game up. So
yeah, they even have guys in the newspapers now and they have a daily column or three or four days a week with analytics explaining why things happen in the game, and the mind boggles when I see it.
But yeah, it's still the oddest thing to me, you know, when they start talking, you know, about certain things and, you know, how it, you know, it's bad to give up an at bat to move a runner over. And, you know, all I can ever kind of think to myself is, well, if there's nobody out and a runner on second and you get him to third with one out, I believe statistically he has a better chance of scoring. So,
yeah,
you know,
so
maybe that's not such a bad thing, but you know, it hurts your OPS and your slugging because you gave yourself up.
Yeah, smart hitters will do that sometimes, though. They'll concede something, but as long as they advance the runner from second to third, you're going to give yourself a better shot to drive a net run.
So yeah, you know, that's kind of what I thought. I mean, you know, it made sense to me to, you know, hey, if we, you know, because me, the object is always to score the runs, but apparently analytically wise, it's just to hit the home runs. You know, you have to score the runs on hitting home runs.
Well, to me, it's always a lot more exciting to watch a guy go from first to third on a ball hit to the outfield than a guy watching a guy hit a home run or a triple, even a guy hitting a triple. That's an exciting play also. But I guess the analytics guys don't seem to think so. Hey, it's not a home run. Forget about it.
No, you know, and that's the thing. You know, he didn't have enough launch angle or whatever it was. But here you go. For tonight, I'm going to get your comparisons here. I found an article by Mike. I'm going to guess this is Petrillo. And it's who has the edge in this Cardinals National Series position by position. So, and I, you know, I think the first couple are probably pretty easy. We start with catcher, where, of course, we just talked a little bit about Yadier Molina, where the Nationals go with Yan Gomes tonight, and then Kurt Suzuki also gets his share of playing time. So, you know, that's the question. Who do you have with the advantage there, the Cardinals or the Nationals?
Well, I definitely go with the Cardinals and that for that position.
Yes, and you are in agreement. That's who he went with, too. And like I said, I thought the first couple were pretty easy. You know, we get the first base, and, you know, we know Ryan Zimmerman is Mr. National. I mean, he's been there for what seems like, you know, 100 years at least. You know, he's had his injury issues. He's in the lineup tonight. You know, Howie Kendrick has been filling over there when Zimmerman is out, and he's been hitting pretty well. So you basically have Zimmerman and Kendrick going up against Paul Goldschmidt, who, you know, we know is, you know, a pretty big-time power hitter. So, again, who you got with the advantage there, the Cardinals or the Nationals?
I would have to go with the Cardinals on this one because I think Goldschmidt looks to me like he's starting to hit the ball pretty consistently in the playoffs. So I'm going to go with Goldschmidt.
All right, see, you're in agreement there again, so let's see how we do there. We move over to second base where, you know, Howie Kendrick has played here quite a few times. I believe he made three starts in the NLDS for the Nationals there. So he's there again tonight. You know, Brian Dozier, you know, did hit 20 bombs. He's the other second baseman there. So, you know, Dozier is the much better defender than Kendrick is at this point in his career. I think Kendrick is 36 or 37, so it makes sense that Dozier is the better defender. You know, then they go, you know, the Cardinals have Colton Wong, who interestingly, this guy describes as probably the best defensive defensive second baseman in baseball is what I'm trying to say, and a likely Gold Glove Award winner. I'm surprised I didn't know that, just one of those things. But again, you've got kind of a platoon of Nationals against one Cardinal. So who are you giving the advantage to, the one Cardinal or the two Nationals?
It's a tough one. I'll have to go with the two Nationals, though.
Oh, okay. Well, there we got a little bit of disagreement there. He likes Colton Wong and the Cardinals. So now this was the one I was really quite interested in here. Shortstop. You know, the Nationals have Trey Turner, who is a very prototypical leadoff man. You know, he had 35 steals during the year. You know, obviously, a quality player. I think he hit just under 300. So, you know, he's definitely got all the tools as a shortstop. The Cardinals have Paul DeJong, who you would describe as more of a power-hitting shortstop. You know, I think Turner may be a little bit better on the defensive side, but DeJong, you know, he can make all the plays. I think Turner can just make a few more. You know, I'm not sure if there's a wrong answer here because both of these guys are really good young players, but you got to pick one. So who you give the advantage to?
This is a toss-up, but I'm going to go with the Cardinals on this one.
Okay, he went I went away from it there. He actually gave a small advantage to the Nationals. So we have a couple disagreements here. This is another one I thought was relatively easy, but, you know, we have to go through it. Third base, the Nationals have Anthony Rendon, who I will not be surprised if he wins National League MVP. He's just been that good. He's clearly the Nationals' best player right now. You know, solid defender, big-time power hitter, hits for average. So, you know, you really can't go wrong with this guy. While the Cardinals counter with Matt Carpenter, who gets the start tonight, but Tommy Edman also gets a lot of time over there. It's still odd for me that Carpenter is a part-time player. That's still throws me off a little bit because I remember last year he was a borderline MVP candidate, but you know, he has had some arm trouble, you know, and it's just maybe, you know, it's winding down for him, even though I don't think he's that old. So again, you know, we got a solid duo in the Cardinals, Carpenter and Edmund, against Rendon, who's a legitimate stud. I gotta assume you're giving this one to the Nationals unless you're seeing something else.
You have to, although I think that the two Cardinal players are pretty clutch hitters and might do some damage, but you got to go with Rendon.
Yeah, Edmund has been actually really big in the clutch, and, you know, Carpenter, I think Carpenter had a big home run in one of the games against the Braves. So, but, yeah, it's hard to, you know, you're looking at Rendon. It's hard to go anywhere else. So, all right, well, here we go. This is another solid one. We go to left field, where, you know, the Nationals have Juan Soto, who I believe is just 20 years old, and hit 282 and 34 home runs in the season, you know, in the regular season. So He definitely is up and coming, or may already be here, considering he's 20 and he's had two really good years. You match him up for the Cardinals. They have Marcell Ozuna, who, you know, he hit better in the postseason than I believe he did in the regular season. He had some real scuffles in the regular season, but it looks like he's figured it out. You know, do you like the young guy here in Soto, or is Ozuna kind of leaning your way?
I'm leaning towards Ozuna, principally because he seems to be peaking at the right time.
Yeah, finally. You know, right. You know, I'm not surprised here that he went with the Nationals, because Soto is kind of that guy. But I could definitely see, you know, it going either way. So, all right, here we go with center field. And now this is an interesting one. You know, I honestly think if Victor Robles was healthy, this may be kind of one of those things where you go, okay, it's Victor Robles and that's it. But, you know, he injured that hamstring in game two of the division series. You know, he's missed some games. He's not in the lineup tonight. The Nationals turned to Michael Taylor, who, you know, he's a fantastic defender. The problem is he's the prototypical not great hitter and strikes out a ton. You know, in the Cardinals' case, they have the combination, I guess we'll call it, of Dexter Fowler, who we just talked about, scuffling at a little at the plate, even though it's just minor at bats, or Harrison Bader, you know, who is a top-notch defender, but has had his issues at the plate. So, you know, you got a basically a mishmash here. You like Robles and Taylor, or Fowler and Bader? Sounds like a bad law form.
Yeah, it does, and grudgingly, I'm going to have to go with Fowler and Bader in this one.
So, yeah, you know, again, I think if Robles is healthy, it's really in the Nationals' favor. But, man, without him, I just, you know, Michael Taylor just strikes out way too much for me.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, the health issue was what swayed me, I think, towards the Cardinals in this one.
So, yeah, and then we go the last position set of players here, right field. The Nationals, it's pretty easy. You got Adam Eaton out there. He had a solid year. He hit .279. He's definitely an above-average defender. And surprising power for, you know, you kind of look at him, you wouldn't expect him to be a power hitter. Can steal a base, you know, if you need it. So, you know, he's definitely a quality player out there. And, again, you know, we fall into one of these odd things where the Cardinals is – tonight it's Tommy Edman out there getting the start. You know, they're trying to find a way to get his bat in the lineup because he was fantastic after his call-up. If he's not out there, they've been going with Dexter Fowler, you know, in right field. And they also have Jose Martinez, who for some reason seems to just be relegated to pinch-hitting duty. So it looks like I'm just going to give you Fowler and Edman against Eaton. You know, again, you like a platoon here, or you going with just the one guy?
I'm going to go with the platoon guys on this one. I'm not all that sold on Adam Eaton, despite a solid season.
All right, here we go. We get into starting pitching. All right, now we know that tonight it's Anibal Sanchez against Miles Mikolas. Game two, it's going to be Adam Wainwright against Max Scherzer. Game three will be Jack Flaherty against Steven Strasburg. And nobody has announced for game four yet, but it does look like Patrick Corbin right now is scheduled for the Nationals. You know, with the exception of Jack Flaherty, I kind of thought this one was a laugher, but maybe you see it differently. Who you like here?
Well, I'm going to have to go with the Nationals on this one. And that matchup for game three, though, is going to be outstanding.
Yeah.
But overall, I've got to go with Washington starting pitching on this.
All right, then the fun one. We get to go into the bullpen here. You know, we talked a little bit about the Nationals' troubles. They've had their ups and downs. You know, when you look at their stats, though, from the five-gamer against the Braves, it wasn't too bad. You know, if Hudson can settle in as the closer, you know, I don't believe Doolittle gave up a run, and neither did the veteran Fernando Rodney. You know, who knows if it carries over against the Cardinals, and maybe they found something. You know, the Cardinals have had their issues as well. You know, Carlos Martinez is doing the closing, but every time he goes out there, I have Carlos Marmol flashbacks. It seems like he's always putting guys on. He's always in trouble. You know, they do have a really good setup crew with, you know, Andrew Miller. Giovanni Gallegos has been really good, and so is John Brebbia. So getting the game to Martinez, it might be a little easier for the Cardinals. But, yeah, like I said, once you get him in, I don't know what's going to happen there. It's kind of a tightrope act. You know, tough one here, you know, but who you got here?
I like the Cardinals setup men, but I'm not too thrilled with the closer. And overall, I'm going to have to go with the I'm gonna go with Washington in this one.
Oh, okay. That's kind of a surprise. I figured with as bad as their season was that you'd take them. But, yeah, this guy has the Cardinals. So.
Right. The only reason I think Washington, I thought their guys did pretty good during the NLDS. So I think maybe they're starting to do a better job at the right time. And that's something that you always have to look at it, that. How have they done lately? Maybe they're focusing, they're doing a better job when it counts, and that, to me, is critical.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that part of the playoffs is who's hot at the right time, right?
That's exactly right.
So,
exactly right.
You know, that's just kind of how things go. So we'll have to see. I mean, I'll be interested to see, you know, if they – you know, if Washington gets that closing situation, if Doolittle can come in and do the job, you know, I think that would be a really big deal for them. So,
yeah, he looks pretty good to me lately, but I know he hasn't always been that consistent, but I think they're peaking at the right time. In fact, I don't know, I may have to go on a limb and predict Washington to beat the Cardinals and advance to the World Series. Although it will take 6 or 7 games for sure.
Yeah, I definitely think it's going to be a longer, unless like I said, if the Cardinals lose tonight, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Nationals, almost run the table on them. So.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but I could see them winning in 5 if the Cardinals lose tonight.
So yeah, you know, it's definitely, it should be a fun series, you know, and that's kind of the important thing. We get it out there, get it going, and hopefully it's good to watch. So
yeah, what's even more difficult to predict to me in the St. Louis Washington is the Yankees in Houston. I have to maybe give it to Houston because they have the home field advantage, but the Yankees have so much power on their team, and are they finally getting healthy enough to play their lineup on a consistent basis? And that one's going to be tough. That is a tough one to call.
Yeah, when you look at it, you know, pitching, you know, Houston has such an advantage in starting pitching that it's just hard not to pick them. That and the fact that I picked them in the preseason to win it all, I have to kind of go there. So
yeah,
that makes things a little easier.
I predicted the Yankees and the Dodgers to play in the World Series with the Yankees winding up winning it, and so I guess I'll have to go with the Yankees to pull out the I don't know if you call it an upset or not, but the win in maybe 7 games. It'll be another long series.
Yeah, well, you know, I was smart enough to pick the Astros and the Cubs, so you can see how that worked out for me.
How'd that work out for you?
Yeah, you know, that's just what I Just what I had going there. So, you know,
I had the Cubs
we'll
at fourth.
How,
actually, I was wrong about that. Right? I was incorrect when I predicted the Cubs would wind up in fourth place. They fooled me.
So, yeah, you know, just you know, like I said, sadly a gigantic embarrassment of a team, and it'll be interesting to see how they try to fix it and who they try to fix it with. So.
Yeah. You know, right now, looking at the team on paper, talking about the Cubs, I don't see much hope in them contending next season unless they make some major changes, although maybe I'm being too pessimistic. What's your thought on that one?
You know, I mean, obviously, you know, they got to do something with the bullpen. You know, I mean, you can't come back and have the – you know, have this bullpen again. Yeah, you know, I mean, with the contract Kimbrel signed, he's going to be there. But, you know, other than that, you know, you could basically let everybody else go. That would be no, you know, no issue at all. But, yeah.
It'll be interesting. Are you optimistic, by the way, in thinking that with that full spring training behind him that Kimbrel could do better than he did this season? Of course, he can't do any worse, that's for sure.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think he would do better. You know, what I think a full spring training might help him do is avoid the injuries. You know, because, I mean, obviously he wasn't ready to pitch as much as they needed him to. So... you know, that was just kind of one of those situations.
Yeah, one other Cub question. I need your expertise on this one. If a major player is dealt during the offseason for the Cubs, who is it going to be?
See, I still believe, you know, like I honestly don't think this year they're going to deal a major guy. But if it is going to be somebody, it's got to be Chris Bryant. Because, you know, I know I've heard, well, you know, it might be Javi Baez. You're not dealing Javi Baez with the fan favorite that he is. You can't justify that to your fan base that you traded Javi Baez.
No, I think you're right there.
It's not in the world.
And, I can't see him dealing Contreras either.
No. No, I mean, Contreras is actually the... you know, I mean, he's the, you know, he's basically the heir apparent to Yadier Molina as the best catcher in the game.
Exactly.
I don't know why you would want that.
Yeah, they can't do that.
You know, I guess if you did get blown away by an offer, you would have to consider it.
Now, when you say getting blown away by an offer, are you talking about getting equal value or wonderful prospects? Because that I don't see happening. I wouldn't do that.
You know, it depends, but I mean, like, if a team came to you with, the best setup guy in the game, whoever that may be, and another fantastic bullpen arm, and then they threw in a couple of their highly rated prospects, you might have to consider that deal, because you do still have Victor Caratini, who, while he's not Contreras, isn't a bad catcher.
No,
and it would almost be interesting to see what he would do full-time.
Yeah, he was pretty solid this year. He fooled me. He really had a terrific season.
So, yeah, and it's just, you know, it's one of those things you just got to kind of be like, well, you know, maybe we take a look at it and see. But, yeah, I don't expect Contreras to go. I mean, you know, the big things I figure – you know, you got to ship Addison Russell off. You know, clearly the way it is, they just need to let him go. You know, I would love to see them finally just get rid of Almora, as poorly as they've treated the damn guy. You know, get what you can get for him and let him actually go play, because, you know, it's clear the Cubs don't want anything to do with him. So
who's their second baseman next season?
It's supposed to be Horner.
Well, I'm not sure if that Well, he did pretty solid for the few games he was in there, but what happens after he goes around the league two or three times? Then what? Is he still going to produce?
You know, they're all sold on him being the guy ready to step in and you know, take over. So, you know, I mean, I've heard the David Kaplans and all kind of the local Chicago guys say that he's it and they're sold and ready to go. And, you know, they don't have to worry about the position for the next 10 or 15 years.
Yeah, I'm not as confident as those guys are. But second base would be his position. He's not a shortstop. His arm is not, at least to me, from what I've saw, his arm is not strong enough to be an everyday shortstop.
No, you know, and obviously, you know, that's the other reason you're not moving Javi Baez. You know, if you were to, you know, if you move Chris Bryant, obviously you can replace him. You know, I mean, David Bodie could play there. You have a few other guys who could fill in and play there. You know, if you move Javi Baez, who's your everyday shortstop? Then you almost have to keep Addison Russell because while he's not the hitter, he's probably a better defender.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening.
So,
and will the Cubs make an offer for – will we do something to try to keep Castellanos? And if that's the case, that means Fowler moves to center field. If they do.
You know, I doubt it because with as much money as they have and they're right up against the luxury tax, I don't think he's going to fit in their price range.
They will save some money, of course, but I don't think Hamels will be back next season.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you'll lose, you know, Hamels goes and, you know, Strope is off the books unless you want to bring him back. And, you know, I'm sure,
so.
I know Brandon Moore had an option year, but I'm sure they're smart enough to let him go. You know, so, they will lose some, but I still don't think it's going to be enough because, you know, do you bring Castellanos back and have a garbage bullpen again, or do you go out and try to fix the bullpen and let Castellanos go somewhere else?
Right, and if they do let him go, then Hayward will remain in right field, and they'll have to acquire a center fielder.
Yeah, so, you know, and I mean, I don't know if or what they have in their minor league system. I know it's not much. So they'll be guys out there to, you know, that they'll be able to find, you know, I mean, you know, maybe Adam Jones comes in and fills in for a year. You know, I know he's a little older. I believe he's 33 or 34, but he could play center field in Wrigley for a year. You know, that wouldn't be a terrible option.
It's kind of alarming when you think about it, how their minor league system seems to have really deteriorated. I mean, they does not look promising.
Yeah, well, you know, that's Theo's MO. I mean, that's what he did in Boston. You know, and you got to realize Dan was the first one that actually pointed this out to me. The way Theo Epstein built the Red Sox farm system and the Cubs farm system, he can no longer do because baseball changed the way you acquire those compensatory draft picks when you lose a free agent. You know, it's no longer a high draft pick. You know, you used to get a pick like in the middle or the end of round one. So you let a guy walk, and it was like, no problem. I'm basically getting him for a first-round pick. Now it's at the end of the second or the end of the third. So you're not getting the same value there. And he hasn't really been able to kind of adjust his game yet to that. And, I mean, you know, you look at, I mean, who, you know, I couldn't even tell you who have been the – you know, who have been the Cubs' last few draft picks? Do you do you remember?
I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you. That I used to know them all when they started to become good again, but those days are long gone.
So yeah, I'm I couldn't even tell you who their last first round pick was. Let me see if I can look it up here real quick. Oh, actually, Horner was their 2018 first round pick. So, you know, he made it. 2017, they picked a left-handed pitcher by the name of Brendan Little.
And where did he wind up pitching?
He spent the 2019 season with the Myrtle Beach Pelicans after being activated from the IL. He made six starts at South Bend before being promoted. He had a 1.91 ERA, but when he got to Myrtle Beach, he went 2-1 with a 5.95 ERA.
That doesn't sound very encouraging. Well, maybe the injury, maybe because he was injured. Was he injured to depth? Was he out after that? Was he injured after the poor performance at Class A?
He was injured before the poor performance. So.
Okay.
And then 2015, they didn't have a first-round pick. But these next three guys, you'll know, in 2015, they spent their first-round pick on Ian Happel. 2014 was Kyle Schwarber, and 2013 was Chris Bryant.
Well, those seem to work out pretty well.
So.
Interesting you're talking about Ian Happ, by the way. Has he made enough of a resurgence and improvement towards the end of the season to warrant a look at him being center field next season?
You know, I don't think so, not on an everyday basis. I think what his job is going to be to replace Ben Zobrist, because they're not going to be bringing him back.
No.
So.
Well, Zobrist, maybe he'll retire. Maybe this is it for him anyway.
Well, you know, I got a feeling he'll probably sign for 1 year with wherever Joe Maddon ends up, and then that'll be it. But. But here,
yeah,
I want to get this out here. We've only got a few minutes left in the podcast. I don't want to forget this. You know, obviously, you know, we'll cut you some slack on the baseball tonight, but I don't want to let you go. You've been rolling on your college football, and you're 62-30 since we started doing this. I believe Northwestern is off this week. I didn't see a game listed for them. But we have Illinois hosting the University of Michigan. I believe Michigan is the number 18th rated team in the country. Illinois, of course, not rated. You got the Illini pulling off the big upset, or does Michigan get the win here?
I don't see Illinois pulling off the upset tomorrow against Michigan.
All right, geez. Now, to be fair, you've managed not to get any of your college football picks wrong. I don't know if you're gambling on these, but, you know.
Well, lucky so far, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to continue. No, I haven't been betting on the game, though.
I honestly, I don't know what the point spread is. I have to be figuring Illinois is probably getting double-digit points in the game. So, you know, that may sway some voters their way. But, yeah, you can always, you know, I guess you could always take Michigan on the money line. I don't think you would win very much, but
no,
at least
no.
You would win.
That's true.
So, but yeah, we shall see. And, you know, sadly we didn't get into any hockey, even though the Blackhawks had an incredibly poor performance last night. So
despite the two goals
maybe,
from Shaw.
Yeah. Which is surprising that, you know, I'd be surprised if he scores any more goals the rest of the year. So
yeah, they did not seem to address, well, it's early, like you pointed out in the email. Didn't look like they have addressed or improved their power kill.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Two games, so hopefully they'll get better. All right, well, there you go. You two just do all the taking losses. We're going to be back on the podcast. I'm going to go to the sports camera view of that. I think I was going to the there. Put a slide over there. Put a link. Follow it over in the Facebook page. Get that a little button over there. What the heck? Don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Take a look up on Twitter as well. I'm going to ask you to watch the video. I'm going to see you guys. Bye. But if you listen to the song, thank you very much. I appreciate that. If you didn't, if you want to do the podcast, you'll be doing fine. Have a great weekend. Okay.